The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, July 18th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. College is expensive enough, but families sending kids off for their freshman year often find themselves racking up costs that have little to do with tuition or room and board.
But you really, really need to set clear expectations for what their spending will be. It's very easy to say, the food's disgusting, or I just feel like having something else and then buying a pizza every night. And not only is that probably not healthy for you, but it's also just, it's a lot of extra money that a family could be shelling out.
We'll talk to Wall Street Journal contributor Cheryl Winokur Monk after the break.
Hi, I'm Ben Rizzuto, wealth strategist at Janus Henderson Investors. Is a brighter future possible? At Janus Henderson, we think it is. For 90 years, we've worked to help clients achieve superior financial outcomes and fulfill our purpose of investing in a brighter future together. We know that this means our thinking and our investments are helping to shape millions of futures. At Janus Henderson, we are committed to helping you invest in a brighter future for the next 90 years and beyond. To learn more, go to janushenderson.com.
For parents, sending children off to college can be one of the largest expenses they'll face. Wall Street Journal contributor Cheryl Winokur Monk joins us to discuss common financial missteps some families and students make. So Cheryl, whenever we talk about families and managing budgets, it often starts with a conversation about money. What should parents discuss with their child before they head off to college?
Pretty much everything. And I don't mean to be flip in that respect, but you really, really need to set clear expectations for what their spending will be. College is a lot of money. And I just saw a study saying that a lot of parents aren't expecting it to be as much as it actually is. Food is a big area, for example. Let's say as a freshman, you're on a three meal plan a day program. It's very easy to say, the food's disgusting, or I just feel like having something else and then buying a pizza every night. And not only is that probably not healthy for you, but it's also just, it's a lot of extra money that a family could be shelling out.
So costs besides tuition and room and board and food, those expenses are usually well known. They might play a part in what school a student selects. But what other expenses do students and families often overlook or underestimate?
Transportation is a big one. Even my own family, we sort of didn't really think about that. My daughter is going to be going to a school out of state. Like every time she comes home for Thanksgiving, maybe other holidays, maybe just a visit during the year. So we're going to have a conversation about expectations and say, it's expected that you're going to come home at Thanksgiving and winter break, but you're not taking 10 unexpected trips home during the year because it could be multiple hundreds of dollars each time she's doing that. College kids still buy books. Sometimes you can get them online, although you do have to be careful of online scams because there are, unfortunately, scammers out there who prey on students. But also, sometimes you can get them used at the bookstore even, or share them with someone, although that's also sometimes a risky strategy if the person isn't as diligent about sharing as you are. The other issue, computers. So someone was giving me an example of they bought their daughter a new computer and the computer broke or was dropped or something like that. So, I mean, yes, there's insurance. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But you just have to be careful of those other little things.
Now, if a student entering college doesn't qualify for a credit card yet and parents list their child on their own credit card, what should they keep in mind?
So in this case, what they're doing is they're making them what's called an authorized user. So they'll get their own plate and they can use it as they wish. The parent needs to be very clear with the child what expectations are for spending on that card. You don't want the child to just go off and run up your bills completely because you're responsible for that card. This is a good strategy if a child doesn't have income to get a credit card on their own, which many 18-year-olds will not, even 19 and 20-year-olds won't. But you do have to be careful because the spending on the card will affect the parent's credit as well as the student. So it has an impact on both. So my kids are authorized users on one of our cards. And what we do is I get an email every time the card is used. You can do this with most cards. I've set it up for a very low threshold. So I think it's a penny. So anytime it's spent, whether it's money is spent online or whether money is spent at a bodega or anywhere, I get an email. So okay, this causes problems sometimes because my husband always jokes, you know, that he can't ever spend anything without me knowing. But it's a really good tool, not only for monitoring your children's spending, but monitoring for fraud.
Well, there are no secrets in your house.
Nope, not on this card.
Now, let's assume for a moment that a student's parents are paying for tuition and room and board. What steps do they need to take to gain access to the student's account to keep up with balances?
So it's going to depend on the school. Most times that there's an authorization form or forms that the student will have to fill out. Most times it's online these days. Oftentimes that they'll discuss this at orientation, or parents will start getting emails and they'll say, make sure, you know, this is coming up, make sure your student grants you access. And then you just have to go through a multi-step process to get that access.
Oh, so even though the parent is paying for this, they wouldn't automatically have access to all these numbers.
No, because the colleges assume that because they're adults now, they're really in charge of their finances. And even though many parents do pay for their education, it's not an automatic right to get access.
Now, paying for tuition and room and board, those are expenses that can really rack up over time. And many families might tap into a 401k to withdraw funds to cover college costs. And that's allowed under the rules. But why would that be risky?
So if you make cash withdrawals and 401k loans, if they're not paid back on time, that's going to add to the parent's taxable income. And that could push them into a higher tax bracket, which no one really wants to be in a higher tax bracket. It also increases what's known as the expected family contribution. And that figure is used to calculate financial aid. You could be essentially shooting yourself in the foot. The other issue is that tapping retirement money means that you might be giving up investment gains on that money. So there are reasons not to do it.
That's Wall Street Journal contributor Cheryl Winokur Monk. And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.
Enter a revolutionary business world where AI meets power with Intel Core Ultra and Intel vPro. Imagine PCs that boost productivity, creativity, and collaboration with cutting-edge AI. They're gateways to innovation, engineered with powerful AI performance, hardware-based security, and AI-powered threat detection. Plus, they're built sustainably and can be managed remotely. Transform your workflow with Intel Core Ultra and Intel vPro today. No product can be absolutely secure. Become an IT hero at intel.com/ITheroes.